As we've done in previous weeks, I want to dedicate this chus of our learning to the chayalim that are fighting, in addition to our French bull over here, and to the chatufim. And Yirat Hashem, this chus of our Torah should help them in whatever they are doing. Our koach should go to them. So last week we had the opportunity to discuss tefillah beis knesses, the maila of davening in a shul, even as a yachid. And now we're going to look at the same, more or less the same Gemaras, and look at it from a different angle about the Maila of davening in Pitzibor, even when you're outside of a Beis Knesses. Obviously, the best thing is to daven with a Tzibor in a Beis Knesses, and that's why there's a dynamite border, because that's the most powerful, explosive type of tefillah. But today we'll be discussing half of it, which is tefillah Pitzibor. So there are several, there is no sugya in Shas that discusses the nature or obligation of tefillah Pitzibor directly. There's no Gemara that says minayin that you're supposed to daven b'tzibur, and it gives you a source, and it tells you exactly what the level is, exactly what the application is, how it fits in with regular hilchos tefillah. What we have are a bunch of scattered Gemaras, which could be agadic in nature, could be halakhic in nature, that describe the maila, the amazingness of davening b'tzibur, and it's left to the Rishonim and the Achronim to sort of like pick up the pieces and figure out what is this? Is this a real obligation? It's not an obligation. And if whether or not it's a chiyuv, what is the nature of it? What is precisely good about davening b'tzibur? So the two first gemaras over here are the same ones we saw last week. Let's just go through them quickly. Amar li Rav Yitzchak, the Rav Nachman gemara, and the bottom of Zayin and Beis and Brachos. My time elosim mar lebe kanish shel tzuliyeh. So Rav Yitzchak asked Rav Nachman, why didn't you come to shul to daven? Amar li lo yachana, I couldn't do it. Amar li the kanfi lamar asar v'litzli. Why couldn't you get 10 people to daven in your house? I'm a late shrikale moslo. It's too hard to get 10 people to daven in my house. V'leima leimar the shluka de tzibura the inna de matzli de tzibura leitzi v'lo de lamar. Why didn't you send a messenger to shul? The day session send the messenger back to you when you're davening in shul, such that you could daven at the same time as a tzibur. I'm a late kuli hai. Do I really have to do that? I have to daven when I'm at home at the same time as a tzibur. Amarle, Amar of Yochanan Shem Rabbi Shem Yochai, my tiksiv, Vanis Vilasila Kasham Is Ratzon, Imatai Is Ratzon, Beshasha Tzibur Mispalvin. So this phrase, when is an Is Ratzon, the time when the Tzibur davens, what is the case the Gemara is talking about? Exactly, not even about davening in Shul, but that if you can't make it to Shul, the time when the Tzibur is davening is an Is Ratzon, and therefore, it is better to daven then. Let's just spell it out. Why is it better to daven during an Isra Tzon? Let's just spell the implicit assumptions. Because you want your tefillahs to be answered. And if it's an Isra Tzon, your tefillahs are more likely to be answered. But it's not even about the davening b'tzibur. It's about davening at home, the time when the tzibur is davening. Then the Gemara quotes a bunch of different drashos. The second drasha, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mihacha, Ko Amar Hashem, Be'Isra Tzon Anisicha. I will answer you in an Is Ratzon, and again, it's assumed at the time when the Tzibur is davening. Then you have a third pasuk, Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mihacha, Hein El Karbi V'Lo Yemas, Uksiv Padav Eshel Nafshi Mikrav Li, Kiv Rabim Hayu Imadi. So what do you make of those pasukim? El Kabir V'Lo Yemas. What does the word Kabir mean? Sorry? Strength? I think it means strength. Which I think the Marsha points out that sometimes in Tanakh can be in strength in terms of strength, like you're somebody's strong, and sometimes it refers to strength in numbers. So here it's about strength in numbers, that when it's kabir, when there's strength in numbers, lo yamas, Hashem doesn't reject its filos. And then you have a pasuk, padav shalom nafshi, mikrav li, kiv rabim hayu imadi. That when does Hashem redeem my soul through tefillah, the Gemara is assuming, kiv rabim hayu imadi. What does that sound like? What is the situation, rabim hayu imadi? With the minyan, when the tzibur is actually there. So you see the Gemara transitions about the maila of davening at the time when the tzibur is davening, that is defined as an Is Ratzon, and then the later drashos in the Gemara sort of spell out the more basic halakha, that there is a maila of davening imadi, barabin imadi, kabir, when the tzibur is actually present. Presumably it is an Is Ratzon on steroids if you're actually davening together with the tzibur. But it also applies at the time when the tzibur is davening. I'm going back to the beginning of the Gemara. Rav Nachman says, I didn't make it to shul, lo yachilna. I couldn't come. That's a very vague excuse. It's like a stomach ache. So what does it mean, lo yachilna? I couldn't make it. Look at Rashi in the top of the second page. But how does Rashi define lo yachilna? Tashkoki. What do you make of tashkoki? Weak. right? If you're feeling weak, so how does that factor into halakha? Like, what about every other thing halakhic obligation? Generally speaking, if you're feeling weak, you're still obligated in the halakhic system. Mitzvot Zoreis you're obligated in. Mitzvot Zerbani you're obligated in. It sounds like, according to Rashi, Tashkochi's feeling weak is enough to get you, and it can get you an excuse to not come to shul.
Because it's a weak requirement.
It's a weak, exactly. Yes. It's a weak requirement. Rashi didn't have to interpret it this way. Lo yachilna could have just meant, I couldn't do it. I was sick in bed. You look at the language of Shulchan Aruch, when Shulchan Aruch quotes this, Shulchan Aruch says, and we'll get to it later on, so Shulchan Aruch says, onus. If you have an onus, then you don't have to come to shul. But Rashi interprets lo yachilna as tashkochi, presumably signaling to us that this is not the be-all and end-all of obligations. If you're feeling weak, you don't have to come to shul. Agav, this is not a psak halakha l'maisa. Obviously, it's a good thing for everybody to come to shul. I'm not a shul rabbi. You can speak to Rosh Hashanah about it, but probably he would encourage everybody to come to shul, even if they're feeling a little bit weak. We have a former shul rabbi over here. I assume that coming to shul is a very important part of collective creating, tzibur creating, and davening, and feeling part of the tzibur, and things of that sort. But now we're just dealing with the simple read of the sugyos. According to Rashi, if you're feeling weak, you don't have to come to shul. That's one Gemara. So the Ma'il of davening of Bitsibor is that it's an Eser Ratzon, and therefore it applies even during that time period, even if you're not physically present, as long as it's the same time as the Tzibor is davening. The second Gemara is a Gemara in Davav, which doesn't describe the time period as an Eser Ratzon, but it describes the Ma'amad. If you have 10 Jews davening together, what happens then? The Shechina comes down. Right? For the first couple lines of the Gemara that we focused on last week about the Shechina is in a shul, your tefillah is more heard in a shul. Look at the third little paragraph over here. How do I know if there are 10 people davening, the Shechina is near? Shnemar elokim nitzav badatkel. God is present there. So is God being present the same thing as an Eis Ratzon? Shmuel says no.
It seems there.
It seems more, right.
There's levels.
They're levels. And Eis Ratzon sounds like, I don't know, God is still in Shemayim somewhere. God is wherever God is normally found. But God listens more to my tefillos when in certain times of the day or in certain situations. And the time in the tzibur is davening makes my tefillah more potent. But I'm not making any metaphysical assertions about the presence of God in this space. Maybe. But the second Gemara, Gemara Davav, Elokim nitzav badatkel sounds like God is being physically, the 10 people davening together brings the Shechina down.
Which
might make an Eis Ratzon. Good. That's exactly what we're pointing out. The two things might go together, but they might be different. The two separate Gemaras, not in conversation with each other, but they seem to fit together, but they're making two conceptually independent points.
Yes, meaning Eis Ratzon can be independent from the presence of the Shechina. Argue the other way around.
That
the fact that the presence of Shechina in of itself makes it
Eis Ratzon. Maybe. Yeah, I hear that. Unless your God is a vengeful and angry God, in which case, as the Bible says sometimes. So.
Then we wouldn't be
dotted. Exactly. Okay. Good. So that's in terms of the Gemara's and Brachos about the My Love Davening with Tzibor. I should have mentioned this in the beginning, just to bracket this, there are Gemaras in Megillah that describe there are certain things which you can only do when there are 10 Jews dominating together. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch, Dvarim, Shavu, Kedusha. That is going to be a separate sugya in terms of what's up with that, why does that require a minyan, and what is the level of obligation to taking part in those things. Here we're talking about Tefillah B'Tzibor. Stavening Shmona Esrei together with nine other Jews in some type of setting. The third scattered Gemara about Tefillah B'Tzibor is the Gemara which arguably describes how far you have to walk to get to a Tzibor. So this is the Gemara Psachim in the third source. The Gemara Psachim says, Amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, L'gabal l'tzfil l'tilat zayim, arba milen. So for these things, you have to walk 4 mil to get there. One of the things on the list is l'tzfilah. So I actually didn't notice this, but I got the English translation off of Sefaria, which I think is the Steinjoel's translation. So I should have the copyright issues. I shouldn't mention that and give credit where credit is due. This is the Steinjoel's translation, which is free online on Sefaria. I think they do say you should mention where the translation is coming from. So I'm saying it this year. So how do they translate the word tefillah based on the Aruch? It's a tilas yadayim for tefillah. For that, you have to walk 4 mil. In which case, this whole Gemara is not relevant for our conversation. But if you looked at Rashi on the next page, I should have a page number then. What does Rashi say? The Rashi the Gabel. In the middle of that Rashi, Rashi says V'chein l'tfila. Second line, Im halich adam bederech uva es lovon ulispalel inish beit knesset lefana barikok arba milin holak umispalel sham velansham. So according to Rashi, what does the word tfila mean in this again? Sorry? Get into a base knesset. So based on last week's share, what would you think base knesset would mean? Maybe just davening at a shul, irrespective of a tzibur. You look at the way the Rishonim quote Rashi, the Ritva, when he quotes Rashi, adds in the words, Beit Knesset Ba'asara. Like he wants you to, he knows that there's another sugya about the Ma'il of davening and a Beit Knesset independently. He wants to make sure that you understand that Rashi here means standard case of a Beit Knesset, which is Beit Tzibur. So according to Rashi, at least, this Gemara is teaching us, this is the way the Rambam paskins, this is what gets quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to walk, if you're in the direction that you're traveling anyway, 4 mil to get to a tzibur. And if you're just stationary, you have to walk 1 mil to get to a shul. What is a mil? A mil, the amount of time it takes to walk 18 minutes around. It usually takes around between 15 and 18 minutes. Contemporary poskim say that it's not walking, but it's whatever mode of transportation you normally take. So a 15-minute drive would be part of the walking 1 mil to get to a shul. Again, assuming there are no mitigating factors. It's like you don't have kids at home and you have nothing else in your mind. You're sitting at home, you're watching TV. Am I obligated to drive to shul? If it's within a 15 to 18-minute drive, so then the obligation would be there, according to the way we paskin. If it's beyond a 15 to 18-minute drive, then the obligation wouldn't be there. But again, this is a perfect life. This is a sterile life. But there are nothing else is happening, and it's just my sitting at home versus my going to shul.
If the shul's on your way to work, but you would drive an hour and plus, then according to this, you would have to.
If it's going on your way, if you're traveling from city A to city B, and you're somewhere in the middle, and you have another hour of sunlight, the Gemara says, it's like you don't have to travel in a dangerous time, And you would rather be lun here for the night, but you know there's a shul an hour away, so then you would be obligated to continue on. But Tosfos already quotes the Aruch. Tosfos says no. The Litzvila, this is the end, the bottom of the box and the top of the next page. Nira kapirish akuntris v'lo ka'aruch tapirish Litzvila haino lirchot yadav espala. Fantastic. So again, this is just the different Gemaras that we have. The Gemara discusses the Ma'ila of Tefillah B'Tzibor in terms of it being an Israt zone. The Gemara describes the Ma'ila of Tefillah B'Tzibor that the Shekhinah is present. And the Gemara arguably says there is an obligation to walk a mil to get to a Tzibor. So what do we make of all this? First, just on the level of facts are almost like, you know, what is the maskana? Are we obligated to daven mitzibor? Not obligated to daven mitzibor? And then we'll have a little bit of fun trying to figure out what precisely is the ma'il of davening mitzibor and what are some test cases. So the sugya is it a chova, is it a chiyuv of daven mitzibor or not? It's a large and vast sugya with lots of literature in the Achronim, but some of the highlights are here on the page. It's sort of the whole discussion in terms of halacha l'maisa sort of starts with the Shulchan Aruch. Because what does the Shulchan Aruch say? What's the first word about the sif, about davening b'tzibur? Yishtadel. So what in the world does yishtadel mean? It sounds like you should put an effort, you should try, it's a ma'ila. But if you read the next, read on, yishtadel l'mespal b'beis k'neses and b'tzibur, v'imahu anos, she'ena yakol l'vo l'beis k'neses, y'chavi l'mespal b'shal sh'tzibur mespalden. So you go from yishtadel to what's the contrast? Anos. So this, I was talking to Shmuel and Ben about this. It's almost like this creates a major, major machlokas among Nosei Kilam Shulchan Aruch. What does the Shulchan Aruch actually mean? I feel like if Rav Yosef Karo was here and he was aware of the fact that his words were a little bit ambiguous to the readers, he would have clarified one way or the other. But the way we have it is he starts off with Yishtadel, but sounds like you should make an effort, but it's not a real obligation. And he ends off with that you only don't have to go if you're honest. So if you look in the Magen Avraham, Magen Avraham interprets anos as tashkoko, based on Rashi. Anos means if you're a little bit anos, you're a little bit weak. Then at that point, you don't have to go to shul. Which makes the Shulchan Aruch very consistent. The davening b'tzibor is a maila. You want an esrat so, you want to daven in the presence of the Shekhinah. It is a positive thing to do. You should try to daven in shul, but it's not really a formal obligation. And this is not just in the Magen Avraham. This gets tracked in the various achronim. Give you one of the funner tshuvos about this, the Shud Chavos Yair of Yara Bakrach, who was the Rav in the three cities, which I'm forgetting what the name of the three cities are. There are three cities in Europe that were close by, and there was always one Rav for all three cities. So he was the Rav. He was the Rav there, and the rich Baal Batim started asking him when he was a young Rav. Started asking him questions. Could I come to Shul on Shabbos by hiring a non-Jewish ferry? Because there were multiple rivers in the Shul, and it was. I said for most of the year they had bridges, but sometimes because of the ice, it was too dangerous to have the bridges there. The only way to get from one end of the city to the other end of the city was to go on a ferry. So this rich Balba said, I want to hire a non-Jew, it's before Shabbos, to take me in his ferry from one side of the river to the other side of the river in order to get to Shul on Shabbos. Is there anything wrong with that? So Rav Yair Bachra, the Chavos Gaon, says, I did my research, he didn't tell me this, but he had actually asked the previous Rav of the community, who told him it's Aser. So it's Aser. And I'll explain why it's actually Aser. He says, you would look at it, you would think it would be Mutter. Because in Hilchos Shabbos, we have a rule, Shvos to Shvos Mokom Mitzvah is Mutter. That you're not allowed to do an Isser Derabbanan on Shabbos. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jewish person to do an Isser on Shabbos, and for your behalf. But to ask a non-Jewish person to do an Isser Derabbanan for the sake of fulfilling a mitzvah is okay. What's an example of this? I'll give you a very similar example. Let's assume you're not talking about a Rishus Harabim De'oraisa. You're talking about just a regular town where there's no Eruv.
It would be a Carmelis.
A Carmelis, exactly. You're talking about a Carmelis. Are you allowed to ask a non-Jewish aide to push somebody in a wheelchair to shul on Shabbos? Or to push a stroller to Shabbos so that the parents can get to shul? How do Chabad couples function in places where they just come in and there's no Eruv, but both halves of the couple want to be in shul, and they have a baby? The answer is... The answer is, this is what it says in Chabad.org. This is the official, official psak. This is the psak that I found in Chabad.org. Shavos v'shavos v'makom mitzvah, assuming you're not living in a major city, it's only an Issa d'Rabbanan to carry outside in the first place. Having both halves of the couple get to shul is a makom mitzvah. You ask a non-Jewish person to push the baby stroller to shul. And that is a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah.
You ask them before Shabbos.
So you ask them before Shabbos, but they're doing the malacha for you on Shabbos, and you pay them before Shabbos, and then after Shabbos, you leave the money out. The hiring is always a separate issue. But shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah is a well-worn kula. It's in Shulchan Aruch with tons and tons of practical applications. So this person asked Rabbi Abakrach, why can't I do this? Going across the river is an isadur, and a boat is an isadur abanan. I'm asking a non-Jewish person to run the boat, so that's a mir l'nakri for an Isser D'Rabbanan, and it's for a makom mitzvah, it's to get to shul. So why can't they do it? What did the Chavos Gaon tell him? Look at the underlined part. Vatam shlo hitiru, the reason why the previous Rav of the town wasn't master this, Efshar, v'nei te'afogav te'in kan afilo omer l'gai la'viro rak shvos t'shvos t'shad al mayim, inu rak gzeros l'chamim, v'gzer v'koka ma'od, gzer sham yasachav yosho shayatin, that he the whole thing is an Issa D'Rabbanan, and you're not going to be an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's a very far out chashash in Issa D'Rabbanan, so he's building up the case why you should be Niko. Fine. Meaning it's a far out Issa D'Rabbanan about taking a boat that you might come to fix the boat yourself. Who's going to fix the boat themselves nowadays? So you're asking a non-Jewish person to take you on a boat. The whole reason why you can't go on a boat on Shabbos, and you can't go on a ferry on Shabbos, is a far out chashash, so it should be Mutzer. It's not such a mitzvah. You want to onik Shabbos, you're allowed to do a shvus v'shvus makom mitzvah. To blow a shofar, you're allowed to do a shvus v'shvus makom mitzvah. Perhaps to get, if you know, you live in a skyscraper, and you want to get up to the seventh, your apartment in the 70th floor for your Shabbos meal, having the non-Jewish doorman press the buttons for you, because you could use the elevator to get up to the 70th floor, back to your apartment, arguably shvus to shvus makom mitzvah. But getting to shul is not enough of a makom mitzvah to allow a shvus to shvus, allow an amir lanakri to allow you to have him run the ferry so that you could get to shul.
On a one-off situation, I could understand this answer. There's a rub of community.
Right.
You have to think long and hard about the ramifications of isolating people from coming to shul Shabbos in and Shabbos out week after week, not being part of the tzibur.
Right.
Isn't there some bigger...
But this is only during the months.
The only months when it was frozen, when you couldn't have the regular bridges.
Well, I know.
When there was ice there, so you couldn't have the regular bridges. I don't know how many. I'm forgetting what city he was a rabbi of. Somebody can check up on their phones if you want.
No, but it wouldn't matter whether it was only. I mean, this answer would be no matter.
It's 3 months.
What?
Three months? It says 3 months? No, so 3 months. It's a quarter of the year. Okay, so thank you. Shosh Chodeshim. It's 3 months.
He has enough discernment in his life. You're like weakening his Yiddishkeit with this kind of.
So look, I don't know the social reality of the Kavos Yair. It could be they could have gotten 10 people on their side of town together. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Again, I think once again as if somebody is a shul rav and they want to have a strong community and they want people to be connected to the community. I think there are going to be many, many mitigating factors. Halakha l'maaseh, we don't pass like this. Prima gadam paskins, getting to shul is a makom mitzvah to allow shul tashvas, and I think that's what many, many Chabad couples rely on.
Worms and mons.
Worms and mons, and there was a third city there also. Just two?
All I know is that we have a kina on Tisha B'Av for that community. So
right, that was that's in the Middle Ages. I think he was much later on. Yeah, but but the Chavos Yair felt very strongly that it's not enough of a makom mitzvah to be matir shvas to shvas. The polar opposite of the Chavos Yair is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a series of tshuvos, is super, super, super strong that davening b'tzibur is a real chiyuv d'rabbanan. So the tshuva I gave you is the first one about it, where he comes off the strongest. He says, source number 6, Im tam hachacham rashai l'skal b'yachidos, I have nephews in some yeshivos. It tells me they go to sleep regularly between 2 and 3 in the morning because they're learning all night, and sometimes they have the mishakras. So is that an okay way to create your schedule? And Rav Moshe Feinstein responded, he named l'spalo ba'asara hu chiyuv mitzvah ala adam v'lo rak hidur v'mayla be'alma. It's not just a maila that, you know, it's a good thing to do. It doesn't register as a makom mitzvah. It's not just a mitzvah in a good sense. It is a chiyuv. It is a chiyuv d'rabbanan to daven b'tzibur. And he quotes the Gemara about walking 4 mil. You see, Chazal obligated you to walk 4 mil.
But it's an obligation of a limit.
It's an obligation of a limit. That's what he goes through in the tshuva. Certain chiyuv d'rabbanan, they said, are limitless. Certain mitzvahs d'rabbanan, they said they're obligatory. But they Chazal decided where to draw the line. So for a tefillah b'tzibur, for whatever reason, that's where they decide to draw the line at 4 mil in your direction, 1 mil in a random direction.
It's a chiyuv
with a gvul.
It's not like ad asof.
And not ad asof. And that's why he says, so the Shulchan Aruch uses the lashon of yishtadel. Yishtadel is hinting, signaling to us that this is a chiyuv, but with a certain limit. But then Rav Moshe Feinstein has the most fascinating line. He says, look at the beginning of the next paragraph. You look at the Gemara, it doesn't sound like it's an obligation. It sounds like it's a good thing to do. If you want your tefillah's answer, you should daven with a tzibur. But it sounds like it's a maila, it's a eis ratzo, but who says that creates an obligation? That the very fact your tefillah is more answered, it's more potent, in a situation where davening b'tzibur creates a chiyuv d'rabbanan to daven there. This is like almost like philosophical assertions about tefillah from Rav Moshe Feinstein. You see this in a number of tshuvos of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe assumes that any time the Gemara says your tefillah becomes more potent in a certain way, it creates a chiyuv on you to daven in that way. Because apparently, the purpose of davening, one of the major halakhic purposes of davening, is to be answered, is that your tefillah should be responded to. So all these notions that you're davening to change yourself, and you're davening just to have an encounter with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're davening, just lispalel, it's all reflexive, it's not about getting answered. Rav Moshe assumes halakhically that, no, tefillah is about getting answered. It's about your tefillah should be mekobo umerutza lefnei Hashem. He quotes Rabbeinu Yonah that consistently uses those lashonos. He says, therefore, if the Gemara says your tefillah is more in the skabo in a certain way, that creates an obligation on you, a rabbanan obligation, but an obligation on you to daven in that way. And that is like a fairly wide-ranging assertion that Rav Moshe has in a number of tshuvos, most prominently in the sugya of tefillah b'tzibur. Yeah.
This almost emphasized right now in Eis Sara, when we learned in the previous shiur that there's the Reis tefillah on us. Comes upon us, we want to be answered. This is life or death.
Right, exactly. And if you assume tefillah is the tefillah's model, the model tefillah of the Reis is an Esara, It makes sense that part of the notion of davening be'esara is that you want to be answered. Yeah. The Ramban says that part of the tefillah be'esara is the belief in the potency of your tefillah. He puts that into the formulation of the mitzvah d'oraisa, tefillah be'esara. You should know then that Hashem responds to tefillos when we daven to Him for real. So so that's where Rav Moshe gets this notion from, that it's a real chiyuv d'rabanan to daven b'tzibur. We're not going to go through it now, but there are all sorts of test cases based on how much on the spectrum you think tefillah b'tzibur is a real chiyuv or hiddur or how much of a hiddur it is. I just gave you one. I'm not going to read it inside. Sources 7 and 8 about going on vacation to a place where there's no minyan. So if you ask many, many poskim, I gave you the tshuva's manhagos of Moshe Sternbach. He's like, yeah, it's probably not a chiyuv gomer to daven b'tzibur. But you're a shegetz if you go on vacation in a place that is not tzibur. You're a horrible person because you're losing all these amazing milos. And what heter do you have to lose all these amazing milos? Clearly, you don't care so much about religion or God, and you should do a lot of tshuva. He doesn't say it in those words, but yeah, that's more or less where he's going. The Shevet HaLevi quotes from Moshe. He references Moshe. It says that how can you go on vacation in a place that's no shul? It's a chiyuv d'rabanan to daven a shul. I think in many of the communities that we're from, and many of the poskim that, again, I don't know everybody here, but many of the poskim that I think our community turns to are a little bit more lenient when it comes to vacationing in a place where there's no tzibur, because we know Rav Moshe might be an outlying shita that is considered a hidzer and a maila. The Lashon Shulchan Aruch is yishtadel. Particularly people coming from the yeshiva university world, the Salafitshiks in general very much held to the word yishtadel. They weren't necessarily super makbid enough in tzibur on a regular basis. And therefore, vacationing in the place with no tzibur, again, if you can vacation in a place with the tzibur with the same amount of money, same amount of fun, same amount of menuchas nefesh, so you should get a tzibur. But if for whatever reason, davening with tzibur is going to hurt the vacation, everybody has to ask their own shayla, but there is a lot of wiggle room to vacation in a place where there is no tzibur. I remember I once heard a story, I think it was from Dr. Lam himself, that he had these luncheons with different groups, students in Yeshiva University. So I think he said the story at one of the luncheons I was present at. He said that as president of Yeshiva University, he was the third president of Yeshiva University. He got flack from everybody for everything that he did. He said that one time he and his wife went on a cruise, and they got flack when they came back that there wasn't a they got kosher food, but there wasn't a minyan there. So you're the president of Yeshiva University. How in the world can you go on a cruise where there's no minyan? You're making a statement that Yeshiva University, modern Orthodox Jews, don't care about tefillah b'tzibur. Something of that sort. So he told them that the whole point of it was to get a vacation. For him and his wife, anytime they're in the Jewish community, anytime they're among the tzibur of Jews, it's not a vacation. So the only way for them to get a vacation is to go on a cruise where there's not a minyan of Jews. So once we had the Gemaras and a little bit of the Halakha, let's do a little bit, 15-20 minutes of the Lamdas in terms of what is the Maila of Tefillah B'Tzibur. We saw a bunch of the Gemaras, maybe we could pin down some Nafkaminas. One entrance way is not the sugyas that we saw in Brachos about Tefillah B'Tzibur, but in the Gemara in Sota, which has another ramification of Tefillah B'Tzibur. The Gemara has a list of things that it could be said b'chol lashon, that you could say them in any language. One of the things you could say b'chol lashon in any language you want is tefillah. So the Gemara says, source number 9, tefillah, rachamehi. Why can you dive in any language you want? Because tefillah is rachamim. You're just speaking to Hashem, asking Hashem for mercy. Wherever you want, you should be able to daven. Good. Then the Gemara says, "Tefillah b'chol lashon, you can really daven in any language." Don't daven in Aramaic. For whatever reason, the angels don't understand Aramaic. And therefore, it's not a good idea to ask bakashos in Aramaic because the angels have some role in the process of tefillah, getting your tefillahs up to Hashem. So how can you daven in Aramaic? The Gemara says, Lokashia habyakad habetzibur. B'yakid, don't daven in Aramaic because the angels are not going to play their role. But betzibur, you could daven in Aramaic. What about if tzibur allows you to daven in Aramaic? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Yachid, Sarik Sheis Ayu Malachi Asharis. For you daven by yourself, you need the help of the Malachi Asharis. Tzibur lo tzrichilu. Tekziv hein kel kabir lo yamas. Inu mois betzfilasam shal rabbin. So Rashi quotes the Gemara about Eitz Ratzon, that you don't need the help of the angels, because Hashem listens to your tefillos without the angels, because it's an Eitz Ratzon, because the tzibur is there. You look in the Or Zeruah. Which Gemara does the Or Zeruah quote as to why your Lada Davin, why you don't need the angels, Bitzibur? Shkina. The Or Zeruah says, what about, we say you can perk on in Aramaic. How do I mean you can perk on in Aramaic? Kin Yisgaldo, Yiskadash is in Aramaic. Alpha Bishin, Malchia Sharez, Mavinim Bazalashon, even though the Malchia Sharez don't understand. Shem de Bitziburhu, Vashashkina Sharasha. Again, which Gemara does the Or Zeruah turn to? Not the Gemara that it's an Ace Ratzo and your tefillah is more answered. But the Shekhinah is present. You don't need the angels to take your tefillah to Shemaya, because God is present here. So you see them citing different Gemaras, and then we're going to see where that takes us. The Meiri, though, sort of reinterprets the entire notion of Eis Ratzo and the entire notion of Shekhinah being Shoreh. The Meiri was a rationalist philosopher following Maimonidean theories in the Rambam. So he's not. I shouldn't use these lashonos. Maybe he didn't seem so comfortable with the presence of the Shekhinah, your tefillah being more potent, the notion of an Eis Ratzon. Never had the Meiri reinterpret all of these sugyos. Then what happens b'tzibur? Yudavin and Morkavan. The Meiri says, why b'tzibur are you allowed? Why b'yachid should you not daven in Aramaic? Nothing to do with the angels. Nothing to do with the angels taking your tefillah to Shemayim. Look, number 12. Tefillah racham inenu, but in sarek l'omer b'loshon hakodesh, and the whole lashon shiurtzah, you can have it in any language you want. Ho v'yodea bo, because you speak that language. Mikamon kom perisha de gemara, dafka v'tzibor, av v'yachid dafka b'loshon hakodesh, v'at avarzeinu la'akei, find v'yachidavin in v'yachidash d'dav yishadavin b'loshon hakodesh. Look at the underlying part. Elisha davar hidur lo, she b'tzibor v'adai him borim l'shon hashagar b'fiyam. It's like if you're davening in shul, let's say you're davening in a shul of Odin, and everybody speaks English. So when the Gemara says you're davening in another language, what language are you going to daven in? You're davening in your mama lashon, in your native language, you're going to daven in English. So then if you're davening in another language in Betzibor, it means you're choosing the language that Betzibor knows, and therefore your tefillos are going to be with more kavana. But if you're davening b'yachid, so then maybe you're gonna try out French. Maybe you're learning something on Duolingo, and you're gonna choose any other language to daven in, and therefore your kavana is not gonna be there. So how did the Meiri reinterpret this notion of when b'tzibur you're allowed to daven in another language? Because kavana mitsuya, because you're davening in a language that Tzibur is familiar with. The Meiri does this with the whole notion of tefillah b'tzibur. We don't have to read the Gemara. It's not the Gemara in source 13 talks about how the Shekhinah is shoreh on a sick person, and therefore even when you're doing bikur cholim and you're davening for the sick person, you're allowed to daven in Aramaic as well. But look at the Meiri says, what does it mean the Shekhinah is shoreh there? Source number 14: the olam yisha adam tzraka b'lashon rami. She never daven in Aramaic. She mitzok she'in lashon shagor b'fiyah brios in kavanah mitzuyah b'dvarav. Why not daven in Aramaic? Same reason nobody understands Sefer Daniel, because it's in Aramaic, nobody understands it. It's too hard. So you don't understand it if you can't concentrate on what you're saying. So your tefillah is not going to be answered. How is your tefillah answered according to the Meiri? Not by tapping into some metaphysical Israel zone, but by davening with kavana. And you therefore, davening kavana requires you to daven in the language that you understand. So you shouldn't daven in Aramaic, because nobody understands Aramaic nowadays. Mikomakom kol inyan chola mitok sha'adam chavim tefilaso b'yoser. If you're davening near a sick person, of course you're concentrating, so you can daven in whatever language you want. Then he goes on to say, what does it mean, Shekhinah imayim? Ratzalomar, shekavanasam mitsuya harbe. What is the translation of Shekhinah imayim? That you have more kavana when you're davening mitzibor. It's, again, he's not comfortable, so to speak, with the metaphysical assertions of Shekhinah. And therefore, how does he reinterpret Shekhinah? You have more kavana in your tefillah if you're davening b'tzibur.
How does he, like, in the Gemara, it's how about that's kale, like all those things.
Good. So again, the Rambam has chapter for chapter more Nevuchim, how assertions about God are supposed to be interpreted allegorically. So again, Rambam tells us he was in the middle of writing a book of Perush and Agadatos. We don't have the book, but the Meiri, I think, does a very good job of allegorizing a lot of the Agadatas that he comes across in his Perush in the Gemara. So in terms of Tzvila B'tzibur, so we have it's an Eis Ratzon, we have the Shekhinah being present, we have your Bor Kavana, and I think there's one other element. And that's if you look in the Or Zeruah, again, we'll see this in more in context when we deal with it. But we discussed previously that there are two models for our tfilos. There's a model of avos and a model of karbanos. And the Or Zeruah says that your tfila becomes like a karban tzibor, like a karban, only when you're davening b'tzibor. Because b'tzibor, that's when the karban tamid was brought. So there's an extra element, extra strength in your tfila when you're davening b'tzibor. It takes on a different quality, a different chalos. Your tefillah is not connected to the system of a carbon tamid. So what are some potential nafkaminas of whether or not davening b'tzibor is about the shechina being there, about it being an ace ratzon, or having more kavano?
More
kavano at home. Exactly. I didn't put it on. Maybe I should have. The Meiri says if you have a mokum kavu, I think we saw it last week. If you have a room that's kavu in your house for davening, and you feel like you have more kavano over there, it is better to daven at home with more kavana than to go to shul and daven b'tzibor. Why? Because the Meiri is all about kavana. So if you are davening at home and you have kids running around, you're davening in your kitchen, and it's a big balagan, you should come to shul. Daven b'beis knesses, mokom yucha, b'tzibor, it's the whole avira is going to help you. But if you have like a meditation room in your house, the Meiri says it's better to daven there than to actually to come to shul and then daven b'tzibor. This is all about kavana.
How are you being Makai in certain things?
Oh, good.
Like
so,
Kriya Torah,
good.
Or
100%. So,
that are
good. So maybe when we deal with the other elements of Tfilah B'tzibor, right now we're just dealing with davening Shmona Esrei with 10 people. Everything else will have to be dealt with separately. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Kriya Torah, Parsha Zachar, are these things really obligations of the Yachay that I have to take part of them? Or once I know that there are some people that don't have a meditation room that are coming to Shmona Daven, so then it's taken care of.
The Rebbe only davened for laning, right?
The Bible's Rebbe, I don't know.
I think he didn't dive in Dominion.
Except he came out for later.
Yeah, so the option of Rebbe does.
The option of Rebbe does also? Good.
Because, you know, he's come out of this because he knew the Elder Chassin were staring at him, you know, like whatever it was, you know, he couldn't
dive in like that. So, for Kriyas HaTorah, there's a question, is it Kovaz Yachah, Kovaz HaSibor, do I have to make sure that it's happening in Shul, and once I know it's happening, I'm fine, or I have to actually participate, I have to be there? So that's also, I think it's a suffix even in the Baralacha, like all the way up to the Mishnah Berurah, that is a running suffix.
How does the Meiri deal with the Gemara that said he should daven at the time?
That I'm not sure. That's a good question, because that's going to be another nafkamina at the end. How similar is that?
Just come on, you know, I'm with them.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. You could say that. And Halakha L'Maaseh, Rav Moshe Feinstein tells you that he has another tshuva, that even if you have more kavana davening by yourself, you have chiyuv daven b'tzibor. But Rav Tzion Avashal, who is the Rosh Yeshiva Parat Yosef, major Sephardi posek, he says that the gadol should daven b'tzibor, but if ba'akrai, you're in a town, you're in a situation where you know you're going to have more kavana davening at home and davening in b'tzibor, so then you should daven at home by yourself yachidos rather than daven b'tzibor. Because he says the Meiri is something to rely on. You shouldn't live your life like that. You should make sure to live in a town to be part of a tzibor that you're comfortable with. But if you're going someplace and you know the shul there, there's a lot of smoking, you know the shul there that they daven very quickly, and you know you're going to have more kavana, so ba'akrai, you could rely on this, you could daven b'yachidos with more kavana rather than davening
with tzibor. Didn't you like a couple of weeks ago that you're not allowed to daven batikin if there's no other minion, that if they're going to need you for a minion, the only minion in the town?
Right, so that's another mitigating factor over here. This is all assuming that there is a minion in the town happening. The question is, should I be mitzarif to it? If you're the 10th person for the minion, then there is probably a communal obligation upon you to help make sure there's a minion functioning in the town. Because the Gemara says that if Hashem comes to the shul and there's no minion there, Hashem is kois.
So the Ramban, isn't it?
Exactly, Shachin Rav. Yes, exactly. So the Ramban over there sounds like there's an obligation upon people in the community to make sure there is a functioning minion in the town, but that doesn't necessarily mean I have to go if I know there are already 15-20 people that are committed.
Is there then a chiyuv on the tzibor then to have a minion or construct a minion that maximizes people's kavanah? What do I mean by that? One is time of minion. If you ask a lot of people who are not able, don't go to minion, or are not able to, oh, it's too early, I can't get up that early, if I'm up that early, I'm going to have no kavana. Or two, unfortunately, a lot of shuls have distractions in shul that you don't have by yourself. So to what extent is the tzibor,
create a conducive environment.
One, the time of minion, and two, a atmosphere. atmosphere that is conducive to Kavanah.
Right. I would think it's hard to like to set formal boundaries about how much the community has to take all those factors into account, but begadol, in terms of the spirit, I would assume that's a good idea. Right, I would assume. Good. So that's yeah. I don't. So the answer is I think you're right, but I don't know of a detailed discussion, halachic discussion of how much you have to go out, the tzibur has to go out of its way to make sure that it's a conducive environment for everybody. Because if it's happening at a certain time, probably it's good for some people. Otherwise they would change the time. Two very quickly. Two other potential nafkaminas is let's go to source number 19. Let's say you're up to shacharis. You wake up late. You want to get to shul. The tzibur is davening musaf. Could you daven shacharis, the time when the tzibur is davening musaf, and have that count as tefillah of the tzibur? So what do you think?
Yes.
So hopefully yes. Hopefully yes. I think I know I've done this. So it's a major machlokas achronim. Rav Sternbach over here in Shuvos Van Hagos, source number 19, quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that said, yes, that you get the ma'ila of tefillah b'tzibur if you're davening a different Shemona Esrei than the rest of the tzibur. And Rav Sternbach himself says, no, read the Gemara carefully, I don't think that's true. I don't think you get the ma'ila of tefillah b'tzibur if you're davening a different Shemona Esrei than the rest of the tzibur. So how would you say this plays out? Rav Chaim was explicit about this. If it's about the presence of the Shekhinah there, that when there are 10 people davening, and you're tapping into the presence of the Shekhinah, so then, presumably, 10 people are davening, the Shekhinah is present, I could hatch along to that, even if I'm davening something else. I'm encountering a Kadosh Baruch Hu, face-to-face, so to speak, because the Tzibor is davening B'yachad, even though I'm davening a different tefillah, but the Shekhinah is present. And that's what the Orzura said, the Shekhinah is present when you're davening the Tzibor, and therefore you could daven in a different language.
Even if you're one of the 10?
If you're one of the 10, he says that you can't count to be one of the 10. He says you could get the ma'ilah to be able to tzibur, therefore it's better to wait, or better to come to shul, and to have a chakra at the time when they're davening musaf. Rav Sternbach himself says no, you don't get the ma'ilah to be able to tzibur. Why not? Because perhaps, again, you could go about it different ways, but maybe the ace ratzon of the tefillas rabim is niskabel, is only if tefillas rabim means that you're davening the same tefillah as the rabim. Or if it's carbon, you have to be mitzvahed to what the tzibur is doing. So the presence of the Shekhinah is brought down by 10 Jews davening together. And you can maybe piggyback on that, even if you're davening a separate tefillah. But perhaps if you want to get an ace ratzon, that Hashem responds to this tefillah better, this tefillah is more potent, maybe your tefillah has to be mitzurah to the tefillah of the tzibur. You have to be davening the same things. This comes up a lot with Yom Tov Sheni Minyanim. Somebody who's here for Yom Tov Sheni, so they're keeping Yom Tov Sheni, and they're davening, Yom Tov Sheni davening. Is there a ma'ilah for them to come to shul, assuming it's not going to be a big balagan, and daven a Yom Tov Shemona Esrei together with Israeli tzibur that is davening a Chol HaMoed Shacharis? So it's the same shayla. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I'm forgetting exactly what he paskins, but he quotes a lot of these makoros about is there a ma'ilah of the tefillah b'tzibur if you're davening a different tefillah?
It comes up a lot for also like you're late, you come late from mincha, and like can you just daven necessarily when there's like 10 guys in the room?
Good. So good. So that's gonna be another question. So davening when there are 10 guys in the room, we're gonna assume not. The question is. So it's also a question. That's great. So when I did this with the Arvicha, we went through a lot of these nafkaminas. The davening mila b'mila with the chazan, their chazaras hashatz, that's more of a chazaras hashatz question. What is the nature of chazaras hashatz? Can you piggyback on that? Davening when there are 10 people in the room, so as far as I'm aware, nobody says that for tefillah b'tzibur, it counts if you're the only one davening. But do you need 10 people davening at once? Or do you just need rove the tzibur davening?
The Shekhinah is still there.
Exactly. So this is a shaila which comes up. Let's say there are 11 people davening chakras together, and 5 of them are big tzaddikim. They're davening, taking a very long time. And the chazan is like, it's up to Gal Yisrael. Could he start Shemona Esrei when there are only 6-7 people that are starting Shemona Esrei together with him? So you look at Ramosha Feinstein, source number 17. Ramosha has a series of shuvas about this. We'll stop with this. Ramosha says, it connects back to our question. Ramosha Lishidaso, it's not about the presence of the Shekhinah. So the ma'ilah of tefillah b'tzibur is not the presence of the Shekhinah, that you have 10 people in a room that are generally speaking davening together. What is the Maila Tefillah B'Tzibor? Yikomakom the Maila Tefillah B'Tzibor Tzarek Tzibor Dafka Afis Knesses. Amat the Maila Tzibor Mitam Achir. A number of Gemara Dafkes. Shu Eis Ratzo. That the Tzibor is mispiled together that creates a powerful Tefillah. Therefore, according to Rav Moshe, what do you get Tefillah B'Tzibor? How many people do you need davening together? 10. You have to start Shemon Esrei with 10 people davening together. Again, you look at the source number 18, you look at Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach quotes the Brisker Rav, a super machmer about this, many posts a super machmer about this. He's like, I'm not so sure. I think as long as you have six people, based on the language of the Rambam, as long as you have six people davening Shemon Esrei together, and everybody else is already davened, or during Birkas Kriyat Shema, that still counts as Tefillah B'Tzibor, because you have the presence of the Shekhinah in the room when the Tzibor is, when with 10 people that are generally speaking involved in Tefillah. So these are ten stan men, it's hard to understand exactly why, but he definitely requires six people davening together.
You need to daven with a minion. You need to daven with a minion. Six are actually davening before they're to help with which they davened already, then that's okay.
So it's certainly okay for Chazar HaShah, it's certainly okay for Kaddish Kedusha. The question is do you get the Ma'ilah Tefillah B'Tzibor? So Rav Moshe says no. Rav Moshe says you have to wait for 10 people to daven together to get to Tefillah B'Tzibor.
Let's say you don't have 10, so would it be better just to daven B'Yechid?
No, it's better to come to Shul and to have Kaddish Kedusha.
Right.
But if the Chazan could wait for 10, this was a question. The Chazan could wait for 10 people to start together. The Chazan should wait for 10 people to start together, unless there's a major time pressure. Other posts again were much more lenient about this. I think the Chaf Chaim says in Yerushalayim the minhag was never to wait for 10 people to daven together. You have 10 people in Shul davening. And you start Shemon Esrei when the Chazan starts Shemon Esrei. So these are some of the nafkaminas of trying to define precisely what is the Ma'ilah Tefillah B'Tzibor. Davening B'Tzibor is a good thing. We need a lot of tefillos. Amir Tz Hashem will continue learning next week. Maybe it's only connected to Chanukah, because next week I think is a Sunday before Chanukah, right?
Yeah,
pretty crazy. 2 weeks.